This is the day that the Lord has made. Now, I know this might be news to you, but I woke up this morning. That's the first thing I heard. This is the day.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. What's this day of? This is the day of the outpouring of the Spirit. This is the day where the presence of God is with His people. This is the day where the word of life is on our lips.
Amen.
And in our heart. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day where we're the head and not the tail.
Amen.
Above and not beneath.
Hallelujah.
This is the day where we lay hands on the sick,
yes,
and they
amen.
Shall recover.
Hallelujah.
This is the day where the life of God
Hallelujah.
Is not only imparted and implanted on the inside of us, but comes forth out of us.
Amen.
This is the day. Now I've got to tell you something about this day. You've got to believe it. If you don't believe it, this ain't the day for you. Amen. It'll be the day for your pastor. It'll be the day for the person next to you. It'll be the day for everybody else. Everybody else will get the blessing, and you'll just sit there like a bump on the log. Yeah. And you'll get mad at everybody else for getting the blessing. Yeah. You'll get mad at everybody else for having peace, and you don't have peace. Yeah. And what's the issue? Your faith. I want to say it one more time. This is the day. This is the day of the presence of God here and now. Yeah, Jeff? The head doesn't do anything without the body.
Yeah. What does the Bible say we are?
The body of Christ. That's right.
Amen.
The body of Christ. Now, I want to say it in a little bit different way. Because if you don't believe it, you know, there's a word the Bible talks about. God needs us to be teachable.
Amen.
Teachable. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit gives His word, and we speak His word. And if you're teachable, you'll receive it. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say it again. This is the day that the Lord has Amen. Made. Joshua Scott, today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next month. Right now. Today. And He'll meet you in your need right now. Today is the day for you. So Joshua Scott now has a choice to either believe and receive or to doubt and do without. He's not going to be able to blame it on me or blame it on you or blame it on anyone else. Amen. It's going to be just Joshua Scott and God. Now I used him as an example, of course, because today is the day for Shannon Ray.
Amen.
Amen. For blessings. For peace, for joy, for strength.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. Today is the day for Michael.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the day for the outpouring of the Spirit. This is the day for being filled to overflowing with His refreshing joy. This is the day for the Kozad family. This is the day for the Stuber family. This is the day for the Roderick family. This is the day to love your children. This is the day for overflowing love and peace in your household. This is the day. Amen. I don't know what it was a minute ago, but today is a day. The day for God's blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're going to have to start acting like believers instead of doubters. I say we're going to have to start acting like believers instead of doubters. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here right now to meet you in your need. Amen. Right now.
You have to choose to enter in.
You have to choose. That's exactly right. You choose to enter in. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's here today. He's here today. Let's meet Him today. Heavenly Father, thank You for meeting us today, every one of us, that Your Spirit is outpoured and that Your Word is on our lips. And Lord God, there's nothing that's going on in our life that can't be changed in the twinkling of an eye and by the heart of faith and believing and by the fruit of our lips giving praise and giving joy to You. I thank You this morning that You reminded me what this day is. that this is the day of joy. This is the day of peace. And this is the day of life. This is the day of forgiveness. And this is the day of mercy, Lord. And we can go on as a people, knowing that you're with us and in us and for us. And this day, Lord God, this day is a day of hope and a day of new things and a day of rejoicing joy. And this is a day, Lord, where we're filled with your peace because God is in the church. God is in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit has already been poured out. Holy Spirit, I welcome you this day. And I rejoice in your presence with us. And I thank you that you lead us and guide us as a body of believers. And we yield ourselves to you now. Because there's no other help apart from your presence. You're the one who quickens us in our mortal bodies. You're the one who feeds us and teaches us the truth. And you're the one that leads us in all righteousness, righteousness. Thank you that this day that you will meet each one of us. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Well, praise the Lord. I forgot something, didn't I? Well, I'm going to go on. Ushers, do remind me. We'll do that afterwards, okay? Yeah, don't let me forget either. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Praise the Lord. The scripture says, be not unwise. Be not unwise. I find it very amazing that we have when we're talking about the church, a lot of unwise children. A lot of unwise children in the church. Amen. And I'm not just talking about Fountain of Life. I'm talking about the church world. We have a lot of unwise believers that should be wise. And they're unwise because they don't pay attention to the scripture. They're unwise because they're not doing the word of God. Now, this is called following the will of God or the plan of God. The will of God is the plan of God. And God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And so we're going to be highlighting different areas that the scripture talks about that is the expressed will and purpose for your life and for my life. And some of them we know, some of them we're very familiar with, some of them we've heard over and over again. Sometimes I think that's detrimental because we start thinking, I know it because I know it up here. When the truth is that you really know it when you're doing it. I said you really know it when you're doing it. And so here's our scripture verse. It says, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will or purpose of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Did you see that? Be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Say it with me. Be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is the will of the Lord for your life. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Worship should not be something that we just do on Sunday. Worship is something we should be doing all through our walk, every day of our life. Amen. We should be talking to the Lord all the time. Amen. All too often, we're talking to our machines, we're talking to our computers, we're talking to 100 different people, but we're not talking to the Lord. And God wants us in tune with Him at all times. Amen. And it's very unwise for you to be walking on this earth. Are you hearing me? And be caught without the presence of God full and refreshing on the inside of you. Because you're not smart enough to walk this earth alone. I'm going to say it again. I know I'm hearing from the Lord right now. I can just sense that there's many of us today that has let our spirit-filled experience drop. Yeah. But it's so unwise. It's so unwise because you don't know how to walk as you should. And you don't know the answers to your life. You can't even make one hair of your head change colors. Can't add one. Yeah. You got gray hair, guess what? You're going to have gray hair. Oh, you can put the little cover on it, but it's still gray. Hello, anyone out there? Yeah, I got tickled with Samantha. You know, she's got this color on her hair, but her hair is the same color as always been. We can't change ourselves. That's the point I'm trying to tell you. You can't change yourself. You can mask some things, but deep down, guess what? You're still the same person. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So we're real unwise to think we can get through this life by ourselves without any help from anybody else, and especially without any help from God. I got news for you young people. Listen, you need your mom and your dad. And if you think for a moment you can do things without them, I'm just telling you right now, you're being real stupid. I said the word, didn't I? Yeah. That's right. And you need the church. If you think that you can get through life without church, I'm going to tell you, you're being stupid with a capital S. That's all there is to it. Very unwise. And if you think that you can go a day without keeping centered in God, I'm just telling you, double stupid with a capital S. I'm using it on purpose. I'm not apologizing for saying the word. You mean I come here to church so I can hear the preacher call me stupid? Now, I didn't say you were stupid. But if you're doing these things, if this is your attitude, yeah. Dumb and Dumber has arrived. Michael liked that. Yeah. Scripture says, this is the will of God for your life. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God. Amen. And the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to the other in the fear of God. Now I finally got my first verse. Here's my second verse. I've been 15 minutes and just got to my second verse. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 tells us, be kind, we've heard this before, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Now notice this next statement, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Say it out loud, fervent in spirit. Say it one more time, fervent in spirit. Now you know there are a lot of Christians that are all the time wondering what is the will of God for their lives. And God does impart to us specific direction, you know, concerning His plan and concerning His purpose in our lives. But even in the times when God doesn't seem to be saying anything specific to us, believers can know and do the will of God every day, every single day, by simply just being a doer of this book. Just being a doer. And so notice again, don't be unwise. This is what the book says to us. This is what the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, this is the book for me. This is God's will for my life and yours. Amen. Notice what he says. He says, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's possible to know the expressed word of God for our lives. Amen. And for one thing, we see right here, it's God's will for every believer to be full to overflowing. Full to overflowing. That's the will of God for Jessica. Full to overflowing. That's the will of God for Paula Joe. Full to overflowing. That's the will of God for Brother Bernie. Full to overflowing. That's the will of God for Samantha Jane. Yeah. Yeah. And if we're wise, we'll be that. If we're unwise, we'll disregard that. Now, how can you tell if a person is full of the Holy Spirit? Someone said a long time ago, you know, I was filled with the Holy Ghost when I spoke with other tongues. But I like something that D.L. Moody said, once said. He said, living only in the past experiences is living on a state of stale manna. And you remember the Bible story about manna? It wasn't any good for yesterday. You tried to store it up, it began to stink. Right? It wasn't good for the future. It was good for when? Today. See, again, I said, today, this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? And so Ephesians 5 and 18 tells us not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That word be filled, it's a continual, ongoing action. Not something that occurred sometime, but something that's fresh and new every moment of our existence. The Greek scholar says it this way, be being filled. A continual experience of the outflowing of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then in Romans 12 and 11, notice the expression, fervent in spirit. Weymouth translation says this, have your spirit aglow. Have your spirit aglow. The Revised Standard says, be aglow with the Spirit. Moffat's translation says, maintain the glow. I like that. Maintain the glow. It is the will of God for your life to maintain the infilling of the Holy Spirit in your life. To live a life being filled every moment of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is as much the direct will of God for your life as if God just spoke to you and said, Joshua Scott, I want you to go to Ireland and preach the gospel. Joshua would get all excited. Oh, I'm going to Ireland. I wonder if Joshua gets excited about being filled. God spoke to me. Gary, God spoke to me. Gary, God spoke to me. Being filled. Being filled. Yeah. Yeah. Is that how we treat it? That's not how we treat it. Oh, I read that once back in 2003. Yeah, I did that then. You're being very unwise when you do that. Amen. Now, you know, you could receive specific direction from God about His part and plan, and you could obey it. And if you obeyed it strictly in the sense of duty, you're still not fulfilling the best that God has for you. Amen. Because there'd be no fervency in the Spirit. There'd be no glow about it. It'd be tough sledding. You know what I'm talking about? It would be difficult for you to fulfill God's word in that way. So God wants you to be overflowing in the Spirit at all times. That's the will of God and purpose for your life. Maybe that's the issue of why you can't do what you know you need to do in other areas. Because you haven't stayed connected. And you've allowed the world to disconnect you from center. Yeah. And the truth is that maintaining this glow is recognizable. Being filled and being fervent in the Spirit, it's recognizable. You can see it when it's on people. And you can see it when it's not on people. Acts chapter 6, we have an interesting passage here in verses 1 through 3. It says, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in daily ministration. I want you to know what's going on here. The church is growing and someone is not receiving their needs. And so there's some grumbling in the church. Have you ever heard grumbling in the church? Yeah. And I want you to notice what the issue was here. Here's the 12. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples and said unto them, it's not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report. Number one, honest report. Number two, full of the Holy Ghost. Number two, full of Holy Ghost. And number three, wisdom, that we may appoint, that we may appoint over this business. I want you to think about that. They're looking for something that's recognizable. Show me an honest man. Can anybody here show you an honest man? Do you know an honest man when you see one? Certainly you do. Yeah. And in the same way, someone that's full of the Holy Spirit, you know when they're full of the Spirit. It's evident when they're full of the Spirit. Yeah. It's recognizable. Yeah. Yeah. And so here's the apostles. They're saying it's not reason or reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look out among you, seven men of honest report. Now, all the money had been pooled together into one treasury. And so the apostles needed someone to take care of the money and to serve tables. And so they wanted men who were going to be, who were men of honest report. They sure didn't want someone handling money that wasn't honest, right? Isn't that right? You wouldn't either. Would. Now, isn't it strange that in the church, you'd have to look for someone that's honest? Isn't it strange? Evidently, there were some in the church in that day that didn't have a reputation for honesty. Did you ever think about that? And integrity. It's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, I thought everybody who came to church were sprouting angels' wings. Brother Hagin said, no, that's just your shoulder blades. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So they're looking for someone that had some honesty. And see, these qualities can be seen. They can be recognized in a person. Integrity is recognizable, isn't it? Amen. And notice the second characteristic, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Holy Ghost. In much the same way that an honest reputation is recognizable, being full of the Holy Spirit, this overflowing of the Holy Spirit is also recognizable. And then the third characteristic was wisdom. They needed men who were honest, full of the Holy Ghost, but without wisdom, especially in dealing with money and the business side of the church, the affairs of the church could have still gotten in trouble if these people didn't have any wisdom. So wisdom is recognizable, isn't it? Yeah. And here's Acts chapter, this passage in Acts chapter 6, it ties in completely with Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Notice it says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Not slothful in business means not slothful in handling financial affairs. And that's the reason some Christians are in a mess financially, because they're not walking in wisdom. The Holy Ghost doesn't replace wisdom, you understand. We need both. Amen. Amen? And believers could receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and still lack wisdom and get things in a mess. Amen? Yeah. In fact, without wisdom, you could get into trouble spiritually, mentally, physically, financially. Without wisdom, you could get in trouble in your marriage. Ladies, have you ever noticed every once in a while your men don't always have wisdom all the time? And men, have you ever noticed that the ladies don't always have wisdom all of the time? And it causes problems? Yeah. Yeah. You can trouble your marriage if you don't walk in wisdom. In every relationship of your life, if you don't walk in wisdom, it's going to show up and trouble those relationships. On your job, it's the same way. Without wisdom, you won't be able to successfully fulfill God's plan for your life. And the good news is that if you lack wisdom, you just ask God. And He liberally will pour out His wisdom upon you. Ask it, and ask it in faith. God wants you to have wisdom to cause you to prosper in every area of your life. Now, we just saw in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, that the characteristics of honesty and wisdom and being full of the Holy Ghost are characteristics that can be seen. Now, the first characteristic that we can look at of the Spirit-filled life, we just read it in verse 18, Ephesians 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. This verse is telling us that speaking by the Holy Spirit in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this you do to yourself and God. This is something you should be doing every moment of your existence. Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father. Praise the Lord. Submitting yourselves one to the other. This is the mark of the Spirit-filled life. If there's anything else that's being manifest in your life that's opposite these marks, guess what? You're living by the flesh and not by the Spirit. Amen. Christians. Yeah. Living by the flesh rather than the Spirit. I don't know if you've thought about it. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There are 150 psalms in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And they were given to us by the Spirit of God. And many were given to the psalmist David, a gift of prophecy and inspiration of the Holy Spirit to help him in the most difficult times of his life. That's why they minister to us in those times and that way. Because when we find ourselves in difficult times, these psalms, they register in our heart. They build us up and they strengthen us. I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Holy Ghost will do the same thing for you that he did for David. And you'll be in the middle of your day, and all of a sudden a psalm will begin. Now, how do you know it's a psalm? Well, you begin to speak it out. You'll find out what it is. Amen. And it'll sometimes be a little, it'll have rhythm, and it may even rhyme. But it's inspiration that comes from the heart to strengthen you in your weakest moment. Amen. Most of the time for me, those come on the heel of speaking in other tongues, praying in other tongues. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they're supernatural utterance by the Holy Ghost. You don't have to have a song book. You don't have to have the psalm book. To tell you the real truth about it, some of the song books that we have today are not even scriptural. It's true. Some of the songs we sing, not even scriptural. Yeah. But you know, when the Holy Ghost is plugged in and we're listening to the Holy Ghost and we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, out of our spirit will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the Holy Ghost will give, they'll register in our heart, and they'll minister to our soul because they're Holy Spirit inspired. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if you understand this or not, but you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit without speaking. Just real simple. That was the hardest thing for me to learn. Because when I was asking the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I just assumed, Michael, that he was going to open my mouth. And I don't know, like a puppet. You know? He didn't do that at all. He didn't do that at all. I went to him and I asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, he had some certain things that he brought me through. But I always got stuck on one. The first thing he brought me through is he said, well, I see that you come. I said, yeah, Lord, I've come to receive the Holy Spirit. He said, ask me. Just ask me. Ask me. Well, I swallowed hard and I asked him, Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, the Bible said that if you ask, it's going to be given. That he's not going to give you a serpent or a stone. He's going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did I ask for? I asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I asked. Real simple, I asked. And then the Lord said, okay, Ken, what's the next step? I knew what the next step was. I've been studying about the Holy Spirit. The next step was I was going to have to believe that I received. And he asked me, you believe you received? I said, yes, sir, I believe that I received. According to your word, I believe that I received. He said, okay, then speak. That's where I got stuck, Michael. I wanted him to overpower me and wah, 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 wah. Wah, shandalai. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what I was expecting, you know. And he reminded me. He said, you go back to Acts chapter 2. What does it say? Well, they were all filled with Holy Ghost and they began to speak. They began to speak. Man, that speaking business, that was where my problem was. So he took me all the way back to the beginning. Yeah. Okay, Ken, ask. I asked. Do you believe you received? Yes, Lord, I believe. Okay, speak. And it finally dawned on me, Rebecca, I don't know how long I was there. It finally dawned on me, I was the one that was going to have to open my mouth and make a sound. And you know what happened? When I did, all of a sudden, then the unction was there. And I opened my mouth and I put some air to the vocal cords. And all of a sudden, I mean, it poured out of me like a river. Like a river. It poured out of me. Then Elaine came in and, man, I shut my mouth. My wife, you know, the one that I hold no secrets from. She knows everything about me. Yeah, my wife. And she sticks her head in to see if I was filled yet, you know. And didn't want her hair. She said, you okay? Let's go back to the verse here. Maybe you had some similar things, you know. But my point is, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit without speaking. I said, you can't be filled with the Holy Ghost without speaking. You can't be. Here's Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. And began to speak. Acts chapter 10, verse 45, and they of circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. What did they hear? They spoke something. They spoke in a language that was not understood, and they also magnified God. Now, what I want to say to you, psalms and speaking to yourselves and psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, this is the will of God for you. This is the will of God for me. And for us to maintain the glow of the Spirit, yeah, for us to maintain the glow of the Spirit, we're going to have to be speaking something. And I'm going to tell you, saints, we've been speaking a lot more than we should about things that we shouldn't. Yeah. We're speaking the world's words. We're speaking the world's thoughts instead of staying in tune with the Holy Ghost. And we wonder why we're afraid when we listen to the word that's coming out of the news reports today. Or wonder why we're not in some kind of hopelessness when we watch the things that our president and our leaders do. And the truth is, we ought to be speaking to ourselves. Amen. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There is no help in the world, says the Lord. There is no help in the arm of the flesh, says the Lord. The world is winding down in perplexity because they have no answers. In all of their achievements, in all of their status of intellect, they have no answers that will change this world and make it a better place. The only way there's peace on this earth is through Jesus Christ. The only way. The only way there's peace in your heart is through the power of the Holy Ghost. Stay with Him, connected day by day, singing and making melody in your hearts in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll notice that your heart begins to be lifted above your circumstances. You won't understand it. No one else will understand it. I understand it because it's might and power and glory that's being poured out from the Spirit to you. Amen. But you must stay connected, says the Lord. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing in your heart to the Lord. This is the way for you to walk in wisdom when you don't know which way to go. This is the way for you to walk in anointing when the power of God is needed. This is the way for you to be strong and to do exploits, says the Lord. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs is your door. It's your connection. It's your connection with heaven. I have many things to say to you, says the Lord, but I cannot speak them because you're so worldly minded and so moved by the doctrines of the age. But thus says the Lord, I have a road for you to walk, and I have a strength for you to flow in, and I have an anointing and a wisdom that the intellect of man cannot naysay. But you must walk connected, says the Lord. You must walk with me. Abide in me, and my word abide in you. Yeah. As the vine and the branch. Because without me, you can do nothing. But you're not without me, says the Lord. I'm calling you today for a deeper walk, a closer walk, a joyous walk of speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is the wisdom of God for this moment of your life. Today is the day, says the Lord. Walk ye in it. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the day. Yeah. Maintaining the glow. How do we maintain the glow? Well, we just start praying. Lomo solo ba. Pray. Pray with me right now. Shomo koria ba salamon dovra basi la mankia tosa. Beano lomon de levrama koria la bal vromo tele kiosora. Pray. Sidemon di lobo koramania dobra salamon di oko. Bavra botolo maniela mancori le mali avra passia ba mancora solo mandi le okuma vrasolo bo le mandi le bo corite bro solo bongo ngamba vando vrasi tia solo bandiela ba cora. But you know, I got news for you, saints. We're Pentecostal. I said we're Pentecostal. Yeah. Now, I'm not belittling any other group. I'm just saying who you are. Who are you? I'm Pentecostal. Hallelujah. Shandalai. Glory to God. Amen. I'm Pentecostal. Amen. Bless the Lord. Lama Korea Basala Vramandia Panane Bevro Soloma. And then the song will begin. The song will begin. You start out praying. You're speaking to yourselves. The song will begin. It'll just begin. It'll just begin to flow in your heart. Praise the Lord. And it'll bring you peace. And it'll quicken you. And it'll refresh you. Praise the Lord. Maintaining the flow. Maintaining the flow will make you sharper. It'll sharpen you in every area of your life. Yeah. More discerning. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed. Can you notice when someone is not up to par physically? You can notice when someone's not up to par spiritually. Yeah. Amen. Brother Hagin told about a gentleman by the name of Donald G, who was he was one of the founders of the Assembly of God movement in Britain. And this minister had renewed an acquaintance with a minister friend who had been on the mission field, and he returned home for the first time in 7 years. And the minister friend arrived by boat, and the pastor met him. And as soon as they exchanged greetings, the missionary looked at the pastor and said, "What's wrong with you?" "Well, what do you mean like by that?" the pastor replied. "Nothing's wrong with me." "Yeah, you're not up to par spiritually." And so later, this pastor thought, well, he could tell something wasn't right. And so he started looking on the inside. He started looking, well, what's the problem? And on the inside, in his own spirit, he knew right away what the problem was. In the city of more than 1 million people, his church had been the only full gospel church. And a fellow came along and started another work. And he had gotten upset about it. Yeah. You know, that happens among pastors. I just got to tell you, it happens among pastors. I remember one time Helen said to me, "They're starting a new church in town." I said, "Well, praise the Lord, but I need help." But that's not the typical attitude about pastors. Did you know that? It's not typical at all. And Tuesday, we're going to be going up north, and we're going to be meeting with our RMAI guys, you know. There was a time when pastors were either happy or blessed, all because of how many people went to their church. And you'd go into the group and someone say, "Well, how many are you running? How many are you running?" So unwise. Yeah. You know, the wisest thing you can say is, I'll say it this way. One of the RMAI guys that I've been ministering to, I've not yet seen him in our meetings, and we've been there 10 years anyway. And so he's coming for the first time. You want to know what changed all of that? He said to me, "Well, Ken," he just got wide. He got wide open with me. He said, "You know, I don't like to come to the meetings." Well, I knew he hadn't probably been to a meeting in 15 years, and I said, "Well, tell me why." And he said, "Because I feel condemned." I said, "Why do you feel condemned?" And he told me about the time when their church was booming and they bought a new building, and all of a sudden people began falling out of the church and they couldn't pay for the building. And so they had to let the building go back to the bank. And from that moment, every time that he would come to some meeting, and you know, the enemy sometimes uses all of us to be unkind in the way we speak, and we don't mean to be, right? You don't mean to be stupid. I won't say that. You don't mean to say something that's going to hurt somebody, right? None of us want to do that, but that's what often happens. And so he just quit coming. And I said, "Brother, how long have you been serving Jesus?" And he said, "I've been serving Jesus 25 years. I said, "Brother, isn't that what faithfulness is? You're a faithful man. You have nothing to be ashamed of. You've been serving the same congregation for 25 years. Brother, if that ain't success, I don't know what success is." And I said, "It has nothing to do with how many people come to church." And so, you know what? He's supposed to be coming this Tuesday. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm going to have him sitting right next to me. Praise the Lord. We're just going to have us a time. just going to have us a time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just know this. I know this, saints. For every one of us, every one of us, we get all caught up in attitudes that separate us from God. And nobody would come in church and say, "Man, I'm just so backslid, I don't know what to do." Not one of us would do that, you know. Right? Yeah. We wouldn't even want to say that to ourselves. But I think the truth is we really don't know what backslid means. And if we were connected 1 minute and not connected another, we've slid back. Right? And so the Holy Spirit is reminding us that we need to be speaking all the time. Instead of allowing the thoughts of the world to come in and all these other thoughts that are drifting all over the place, and Satan does his best to cloud the skies with junk and more junk to discourage you. The world, the flesh, and the devil is continually trying to push you down and to squeeze you into its image. Instead of doing that, the Lord says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Amen. Amen. So getting back to this other minister, you thought I'd forgotten. He began harboring ill will against this other pastor because there were some of his folks that were going to the other church, you know. And I don't know if you think about it like I do, but when did, in the city of more than a million people, did that city get to be his territory to begin with? You know, the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen. Not the ministers. We serving the one who owns it all. Amen. And someone else is serving someone who owns it all. And we're working for the same person, don't you know? Yeah, yeah. And so he got mad about it, and it affected him spiritually. And he had recognized that in his spirit. And so what he did was he knew where he missed it with God, and he asked the Lord to forgive him. And he went to the new minister and told him that he loved and appreciated him and invited him to come to his pulpit and preach. Amen. And of course, that turned everything. I mean, you do understand that there's a lot more to maintaining the spirit-filled life than just jumping up and down and laughing and shouting on Sunday in the Holy Ghost. And that's part of it, but there's a lot more to it. You could get blessed in a service and go away from that service and things aren't still right in your life. Amen. Right? Amen. So maintaining the glow, maintaining our spiritual health, includes being filled with the Holy Spirit every moment of our existence, amen, every day in our personal everyday life. And that's what Paul is referring to when he says, don't be unwise, understand what the will of the Lord is, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then if you think about it, it really has to do with just obeying the Bible. Our spiritual life has to do with obeying the Bible. I want to say it one more time. Obeying the Bible. When we obey the Bible, our spiritual health is being maintained. When we disobey, our spiritual health is being undermined by that disobedience. Walking in the light of the world, in the light of God's word, walking in love. And yet how many Christians miss it and fail to walk in the light of the word, his will, when it comes to walking in love, and they expect to receive some kind of specific direction and plan for God when they're not doing the will of God in this book. And so it's a whole lot bigger than just praying, although praying is involved in it. and speaking. And I love Brother Hagin's example of this. He talked about a deacon in his church one time who had a favorite song. The song was, I got it written down here, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power can do." That was an old Pentecostal song, you know. And during one of the services in his Farmersville church, his deacon said, "Oh, sing my favorite song." And so everyone begins to sing this song, you know. Well, they sang that song and sang that song till that deacon got happy, you know. And after services, they're on their way home, and the wife just made a comment. She said, "Our son needs a new pair of shoes." And he just exploded. This guy just exploded. This is what he said. He said, "You think I'm made out of money? We just bought him a pair of shoes a month ago. Or 2 months ago. 2 months ago, that's what it is." And of course, this deacon wasn't considering how a growing boy can grow out of a pair of shoes pretty quick, you know. Yeah, 3 days, is that how it works? Yeah. Yeah. Does that include growing girls too? Yeah. And Brother Hagin said this, "It's amazing to me that someone can jump up and down and sing, 'Got any rivers that you think uncrossable,' and they stumble over a pair of shoes." Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny, but we all understand that, don't we? Yeah. The deacon didn't walk in love. Yeah. And it's God's will that we maintain our fellowship with him every day, speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And not just talking about when we're in church, but we're talking about an attitude of heart, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. Amen. Singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. I noticed that our new little kitty, here's a sermon around the little kitty. This little kitty, she gets real excited when it's food time. And man, does she sing. Boy, she's, the whole time that I'm walking down to get her bowl, she's following me and she's singing. I mean, she's, how does a cat sing? Well, I call it a sing. She's making noise. Yeah. It's a happy noise too, you know. The whole time that I'm filling this bowl with food, she's a singing and she's a doing her little dance, you know, singing and doing her little dance. That's how God wants us to be, singing and doing your little dance. Yeah. Amen. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. This heart of thanksgiving, no matter what. Now, we're not telling you to thank God for the bad things. I'm telling you to thank God that even in the bad things, God is with you. God is for you. God is leading you. God will deliver you out of your mess, whatever it is. Amen. Amen. Giving thanks to him, not grumbling, not griping, not mad, not murmuring, not complaining. Amen. 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 I think about James. James said, "Count it all joy." He didn't say it was joy. He said, "Count it like it was joy." I can count it like it's joy because I'm not alone in it. God's with me in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, it's easy to laugh and shout and jump and dance in church, but when you're really filled with the Spirit, motivated by him, when you're really fervent in the Spirit and aglow with God's goodness on you, you can thank God in the midst of every circumstance. Praise the Lord. Amen. One last thing, and we'll stop with this. Back to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. We're talking about the will of God for your life. The will of God for your life is to be in the process of being full all the time. Speaking. How do we do it? We speak. We speak psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Praise the Lord. For every one of us, there are certain worship songs that just pull us right into the Spirit. Man, those are the songs to start off with, you know. But sing in your heart to the Lord. Verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. But jump down there in verse 21. Notice what it says. Submitting yourselves. Submitting yourselves. Say it out loud. Submitting yourselves. Submitting yourselves. Say it one more time. Submitting yourselves. Submitting yourselves. You notice that? Now, we're talking about the marks of the Spirit-filled life here. The marks of the Spirit-filled life is you're easy to get along with. You're easy to get along with. Paul uses the word submit. Submit. Submitting yourselves. Did you notice that this is not used in context with the women, submit yourselves to your own husband? This is the word to the whole church. You know, the truth is when we're talking about submitting to ourselves, submitting to one another, we're just talking about deferring to one another, honoring one another. Amen. Yielding to one another. Yeah. So maintaining the Spirit-filled life, it deals with a broad range of issues on the inside of us. What is it about us that wants to have its way? I'm going to tell you, it ain't from God, brothers and sisters. But when you're full of God, it's easier to yield to other people. Yeah. It's easier. Everyone say it's easier. Yeah, it's easier. It means to give in or defer to one another or to honor one another. We could use a number of words there, but it has to do with that push and dealing with that push that's on the inside of us. I want my way. Do you have to have your way all the time? You better check yourself as far as, are you really filled with the Holy Ghost? Amen. Jesus was meek. Yeah. Here's another word. Teachable. 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 It's God's will for your life that you keep your flesh under subjection to your spirit. And God's specific will direct your life, and it will become clearer and clearer. But if you're resistant to anything other than what you think, God's not going to be able to do a whole lot with you. Yeah. Some Christians fail to submit to one another, and they get easily offended. Yeah. They get offended at what ministers preach or teach from the Word of God, or someone says something. Someone says, well, the Word says this. What do you mean by that? I'm going to tell you, you just mark it down right now, you're just not teachable. You're not humble. And unless you grab a hold of that, you're going to find yourself outside the will of God in your life. Teachable. We need to submit to one another, to be teachable one to the other. Amen. We need to maintain a teachable attitude. Here's another thing. Sometimes people say things to me that I know on the inside that it's not right. So what do? Well, I pray about it. Lord, here's the issue. Here's what so-and-so said. I love and appreciate this person. It didn't register in my spirit, but I want to know what you think about it. That's a teachable person that's doing that. Yeah, you're running it to the Holy Spirit to teach you and lead you. And sometimes you're just flat wrong and you don't even know it. And the Lord will say, well, you know, now you remember such and such issue that, yeah, I do remember that. That's what he's talking about. Ah, I would have never saw that before, Lord. And if you're not teachable in those issues where you think that you're right in, you know, without correction, you'll end up hitting a wall somewhere. Amen? Yeah. There are a lot of people that brag they spoke with other tongues, and I'm glad they did speak with other tongues, but too many of them stopped at the door, so to speak, and didn't go on in and walk with God. Being full of the Spirit has to do with walking with God. Now, you know, in the church, everybody say in the church, and in the home, everybody say in the home, and at work, and at work. All right. In the church, in the home, and at work, we may not always agree with one another. Did you ever notice that? Elaine has a different opinion than I do sometimes. I'm sure that at work, all of Greg's fellow workers always agree with him on everything that he wants done. Not, yeah, and vice versa, right? And vice versa. We may not always agree on every little aspect, but we can maintain a right attitude, a right spirit with each other, a humility, a gentleness, yeah. And so maintaining the glow, when we're talking about maintaining the glow, we're talking about maintaining the health, our spiritual health, our spiritual health. Praise the Lord. I think of one other thing, one last thing, and boy, I don't know if I can do this. Fulfilling God's will takes obedience and consecration. We're going to talk next week about consecration a little bit more, and then we'll jump into Christmas treasures. After that, and then take this up again. It's going to be I've got a number of sermons that I'm ready to do now. But you're not going to fulfill the entire plan of God for your life at once. See, here's Rebecca. She's going to be going off to Bible school next year. So she gets through 3 years of Bible school, I fulfilled the plan of God. No, she hasn't even started the plan of God. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. She's just started the plan of God. I've been in the ministry for 30 years, and I'm just now, I hate to say that, Rebecca, because that might not give you hope. I'm just now seeing things that I've never seen before. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Fulfilling God's plan for our lives is a step-by-step journey of obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience to the Word of God. Yeah. And faithfulness to walk in the light of what you know He wants you to do every day in your life. Obedience to God and His Word every day. Obedience to God and His Word every day, even in the little things, especially in the little things. You've heard me say it. You've heard me say it. Going down the road, all of a sudden I have this vision. I'm driving. I have this vision. And I see Hazel Handley. You've heard this from me before, but it bears repeating. And the Lord said, now Hazel and Cletus were people that lived next door to us just before we went to Rhema Bible Training Center. And Hazel's husband could not, he was in poor health and was on oxygen. And so when I mowed my lawn, I mowed their lawn. When I maintenanced our trailer, when we were living out at the Oaks, maintenanced our trailer, I maintenanced their trailer. It was, I just considered it, Michael, I just considered it that's what a good neighbor does. And they needed help. When they needed help, we were there to help them. And of course, they called us, Elaine and I, their kids. Yeah, they adopted us. Now, we weren't the only ones that were helping them either. I don't want you to misunderstand that. But at any rate, so here I am, I'm going down the road. Hazel and Cletus already gone to be with Jesus. And we're on our way back from a meeting, and I'm thanking the Lord about this meeting because everything went really well. God was moving in the meeting, and the Lord said, this is what the Lord said. He said, had you not been obedient there, I couldn't use you here. Here being what we're doing today. what we're doing today. I'm talking about little steps of obedience. I'm talking about everyday things where you're just loving the Lord and loving the people around you, and you find yourself doing things that no big deal, but they are a big deal because they're little points of light that brings God glory. Amen. And so I want to say it one more time to you. Now, we've been talking about speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the will of God for you. Amen. We've been talking about what it means to be Spirit-filled. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? Well, we're talking about issues of submission and humility. That's the marks of a Spirit-filled life. Speaking to yourselves. Amen. Yielding to yourselves to the Holy Spirit and yielding yourselves to one another. Amen. Deferring to one another. And then the last thing that I'm saying here is obedience to God and His Word every day, even in the little things, will help you maintain a Spirit-filled life and keep your spiritual health right and good. Let's pray. Father, thank you. This is the will of God for us. Speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing in our heart to the Lord. Singing in our heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another concerning the issues of the Word. Amen. Teaching and being taught. Learning and yielding to the goodness of your Word as we fellowship together, Father God. Lord, there are so many things in our life that's not important. So many things in our life that is not beneficial, that does not build us up. Father God, you're showing us the very things that bring us life. And so in this week and the months ahead, Father God, may we be obedient to yield to you in the smallest places. And when we're getting up in the morning and you speak a word, yeah, we yield ourselves to that word. And in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then when we meet people, Lord, we're quick because out of the abundance of our heart, Lord God, we've already been tuned up and we're in your presence and we can speak your word. Yeah. And we can be the neighbor that you've called us to be. Yes. And we can be led every moment of our existence because this is the day that you have made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your blessing. Amen.